Show. I would like to give the devotees who, thank you, the devotees who wrote, I don't know if they're here, all of them, but those who wrote something about Navadweep, we made some little boxes, some dust and Ganga water and Jalangi water and dust from Harihara Chetra, Nidoi, Vidyanagar. These are all very important places. If you put this dust on your head or in your mouth, you'll make so much spiritual advancement. And Shiva Sangam, very, very special places. So I wanted to give these to Rachel. And Goloka Prem. And do the same for Jagannath Puri. And we'll see if we can find something special from Jagannath Puri to give all the devotees who write. And even those who don't write, we have something special from Jagannath Puri tonight. We have a nice picture of Haridas Thakur, the passing of Haridas Thakur, small picture, and some dust. And everyone has to put some in their mouth from Haridas Thakur's Samadhi area, which is a very important place in Jagannath Puri. We'll do that at the end. No one's allowed to miss out. Did I miss somebody? Because I made 12 and there was one more person wrote. There you go. Haribol, thank you. All right, so we're going to show the slides now. On the insistence of some of our members who felt that the bhajans went too long last time, in our midterm report, we got a message that we should start the slides a little earlier. So we're going to do that. We're going back to front. This is the last one first. No, this is the second box. The first box, it starts with a Jagannath Mandir. But you can see this is Baladev Prabhu. At Tota Gopinath Mandir with Varuni and Revati. You might have put the boxes in a different order. I might have put them in back to front because we've never used this system before. So We'll take them out if Krishna's playing his flute on the wrong side. This is Grand Road. When you come to Jagannath Puri, this is just outside the Jagannath Mandir, which is to the left. This very, very wide road, which has shops on either side, and then another laneway of shops that they set up, just temporary stalls, plus all this parking area. All that is removed with the Rath Yatra and this huge roadway. It's about 2 kilometers from here to Gundicha, and through the whole area becomes absolutely packed with people at the time of the Rath Yatra. So here are these people who are in this circular area. This is where the Rath carts at the bottom set before they go, and these people are going into the left for darshan of Lord Jagannath. Next. This is the Jagannath Mandir. Because we can't go inside, all we can do is go on the roof of the library across the road. And then looking in, I think actually whatever way you're putting them in, you can put them in the other way round. If I said the writing goes towards the screen, put the writing towards the projector. Do you know what I mean? Because this looks like it's slightly back the front. But there's a wall, you can see the white wall that goes all the way around the mandir, and all these other buildings, one is the Mukti Mandap and other buildings, they're all within the compound of the Jagannath Mandir. So for the last couple of years at least, and still now you can't take a picture at all, because the Jagannath Mandir looks like a porcupine, and because they've built this scaffolding all around it, and they're carving off like thousands of years of lime sediment, sometimes up to 18 inches thick. And it was interesting, last time before last that I was in Jagannath Puri, I met the king's panda. And he was saying that some people believe because they're carving like this and chiseling off this thick sediment on the temple to show the carving that was underneath the original stone, that it has displaced something, and one big stone within the last year fell down in the deity room, from the roof of the deity room, and it was considered a very major thing because they didn't know what to do, and there were no injunctions, and they're very smarter Brahman-oriented, so they had to hold big meetings to try to figure out what was the next thing to do. So there's some controversy about this remodeling, you know, this taking this off the mandir, but they're proceeding to do it anyway with some help from some overseas source, technological source. So all of these buildings were not there at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Neither was this wall there. But there's 4 gates on each side, north, south, east and west. There's a gate. The front gate is called the Lion Gate. Then on one side is the Elephant Gate, the other side is the Horse Gate, and at the very back is the Tiger Gate. So people can enter the mandir from all 4 sides. Next. This is the right way round. You can see, so you come in the front entrance, which is not in the picture, and you go first through that first building, and then through the second building, and finally you take darshan of Lord Jagannath in the very tall one at the back. I think it's about 2,000 feet. I've had the measurements, I can check those for you. It's a very large temple. The only temple that's larger than this is the Lingaraj temple, our Lord Shiva temple in Bhubaneswar. Yes. Here again we see the flag of Lord Jagannath is changed twice a day, and the chakra on the top can be seen from miles and miles around. Actually, we have some land, ISKCON has some land on the sea beach and quite some kilometers from here. And in the morning from that land, if you stand on the top of the houses there, you can see the chakra far in the distance of the Jagannath temple. So the Jagannath temple dominates all over Jagannath Puri. And this is a little dark, but you can hear, see here at the doorway, the 2 white eyes. This is as far as we can go. This is the front entrance way to the temple. And that deity there is Jagannath, called Patitapavan Jagannath. And the story is that there was one great devotee who was born in a Muslim family, who wanted to take the darshan of Lord Jagannath and sat outside the temple and chanted, wrote many beautiful songs and fasted, praying for Lord Jagannath that if you don't come and give me your darshan, then I'll leave this world. So Lord Jagannath is believed to have come to this main gateway to give him darshan. And so then he was established here for the benefit of those who cannot enter the temple. So all the pandas, they tell you, go take darshan of Patita Pavan, because they know we can't go any further than this front gate. Then you enter up the stairs to the other buildings. This is the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So it's not known whether this was the exact location at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it is the place where later in the 1700s, one devotee, Sachi Devi, who later became known as Ganga Mata Thakurani, very elevated, self-realized Vaishnavi from Vrindavan, came and resided here at this particular place. So if this is the place, we nevertheless worship it as such. This is where Lord Chaitanya was brought in an unconscious condition by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's helpers, assistants. And then we know the story of how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, for 1 week, so many days, he instructed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on Vedanta. The brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Gopinathacharya, was a very great Vaishnava, originally from Navadvipa. Also Sarvabhauma was originally from Navadvipa. So he kept telling his brother-in-law, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that this is actually not an ordinary person. This is the Lord himself. But Sarvabhauma was declining to accept the view. But after 6 days of speaking so much philosophy, for long hours Mahaprabhu didn't say one word. So finally he said to this young sannyasi, it seems that it's hard for me to know if you understand anything because you don't speak anything in response to what I'm saying, so I'm not clear. So then Lord Chaitanya said, yes, I understand the Vedanta, but I don't understand your meaning. You seem to be covering it up with your words. So then Sarvabhauma was a little taken aback and asked him what was his opinion. And then Lord Chaitanya spoke to him himself. Here we see also a painting on the wall of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Lord Chaitanya spoke to Sarvabhauma his meaning, and finally he spoke about the Atmarama verse and described it in 64 different ways. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya realized that such learning was not possible in an ordinary man. So then after that he surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya showed him his six-armed form. How he is Lord Chaitanya, he is also Krishna. And Sarvabhauma immediately, without taking bath, without having done anything, he honored the Mahaprasad. So Lord Chaitanya was very pleased to see he had been so rigid in his following of these smarter rules and regulations, but now he'd completely changed and become an elevated Vaishnava. This is the room, the deity room, and inside there are the deities of Radha, Rasika, Roy. These are the deities worshipped by this Ganga Mata Thakurani, who came to Puri and spent quite a long time of her life doing bhajan in Puri. And she became very famous because the king and many of his ministers took initiation from her after having, there was one incident that took place in regards to the Ganga. She wanted to take her bath in the Ganga. So she was thinking to do so, and then she had some dream in the middle of the night where she perceived that the Sweta Ganga, which is a tank, a body of a small kund across the road from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, became like the Ganga. And the water was rushing and the people were laughing and joking and taking their bath in the middle of the night when it was completely silent. Suddenly she heard all this commotion. So she went there and she also took her bath, and she found herself carried by the current of the Ganga inside the Jagannath temple. And inside the Jagannath temple, alone in the middle of the night, she could hear all these people taking their bath and the waters of the Ganga and everything. And the guards who were outside began to hear the sound in the temple of so many people making so much noise. And they couldn't understand this at all. So then they opened the doors, and when they found there was only this one woman there,
They thought this was very mysterious. So they wanted to know about her. This is again Sarvabhauma's house where she was living during her time. So they thought that maybe she was a thief who had hidden so that she could steal the jewelry of Lord Jagannath. So they arrested her and put her in confinement. And that night the king, he had a dream. And in his dream, he saw that Lord Jagannath came to him. This is her samadhi, Ganga Mata Takarani's samadhi. So Lord Jagannath came in a dream and told him that you should take her out of jail immediately. She's a very elevated person. And for this offense, you should all take initiation from her, or else you'll all be destroyed. So the king quickly took her out and apologized to her in every way. Of course, she was very humble and she had no disturbance, and she had also no interest in taking them in this way. But they begged her and begged her, and finally she accepted them. So sometime after that, one brahmana in Rajasthan had a dream, and his deity came to him because he was elderly and he couldn't take care of the deity. And the deity told him that, "I want you to take me to Jagannath Puri, and I want you to put me in the hands of this Gandamata Takarani. She should take care of me." So the brahman came, and then the deity said, "If you don't do that," it was always just to make sure they were serious, "your family will all be destroyed." So the brahman was very serious, so he came with the deity, and again she refused and said, "No, I can't accept the worship of this deity." So then he was very worried what to do, so he took this deity and he placed the deity in the tulsi patch where she used to go to pick her tulsi leaves every morning. And then when she saw the deity there, the deity spoke and said, "I haven't been fed and I'm so hungry, you have to take care of me." So then she was obliged to take the worship of Radha Rasika Roy. So she took care of this deity for many years and lived to be, I think, well over 100 years old. And towards the end of her life, she gave over the care of the deity worship to one of her disciples, and he continued it on from that time. But she was sent to Jagannath Puri because her spiritual master, who was Haridas Prabhu, who was taking care of Radha Govinda in Vrindavan at that time, recognized that after the departure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Puri, everything had fallen into such decline that somebody should be there and should do their worship there to try to help maintain the standard of everything. So he gave her Chetra Sannyas and told her to stay there, and she stayed at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya her whole life. This is Sweta Ganga across the road. And you can see the Jagannath temple just in the distance. It's very close to the Jagannath temple. These are very ancient places. They're all connected somehow or other to the story and the history of Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri. This is also Sweta Ganga. Many stairs leading up. It's sort of on a low level from the street level is way above. Now we're going to visit Gambira. This is a very, very special place. Gambira, the word Gambir in Bengali and also I think in Hindi means something that is very, very grave and very deep. Very, very difficult to understand because it's very deep. So this name was given after the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the place where he resided. The actual place, which is not this, this is actually called the Radha Kanta Math. It's the temple of Radha Kanta. They're the presiding deities. And the deities of Radha Kanta were worshipped by Kazi Mishra at his home. So this place is also, in the time of Kazi Mishra, who was the minister of the king, it was called Kazi Mishra Bhavan. So then later, Brakreshwar Pandit was given the instruction by Mahaprabhu to maintain these premises. So he turned it into the Radha Kanta Mat. And now, as I said, it has also the name Gambira. But the name at the front is the Radha Kanta Mat. So Lord Chaitanya's room is in this building, this temple. This is the entranceway, the temple, the entrance to the room. You can see behind this wooden structure, there's a small window. You can just see partially when the relief work is on the wall. And inside that window you look and you can see the actual room where Mahaprabhu spent his nights banging his head against the wall, weeping and crying, and feeling great separation in the mood of Srimati Radharani when Krishna left. There's the window itself. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to live in this place, after he came, is Mahaprabhu. One thing it's very nice to do if anyone goes to Jagannath Puri is to put your head there on his lotus feet. You can see many people have done it. And therefore the paint has been removed by their heads. It's just a suitable height. And one can feel great relief and offer many prayers by placing his head there. So Mahaprabhu came, and then so many of his followers came. First, these are all in back the front, by the way, you can turn them around. First, not this one, the next one. This is Govinda, Sri Govinda. He was Mahaprabhu's servant. And Govinda used to worry sometimes that Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would come at night and make the Lord cry. And he used to think that when they don't come, the Lord is very quiet. But as soon as they come, he starts crying and crying and becomes so emotional. So sometimes he'd wish they didn't come, as a good servant would. So this is Govinda then. This is Swarup Damodar. You can see also his knees are very good for praying too. Very merciful personalities and extremely important persons. If we want to enter into the mellow tastes of Mahaprabhu's Leela, we have to pray to these eternal associates that please give me some mercy. So this is the very most proper place to pray is in Gambira. And also we see the next one is Sri Ramananda Roy. Roy Ramananda, he lived not so far away, down the main grand road that we saw. He was given residence by Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Balava Gardens, a place that Mahaprabhu would regularly visit and also would stop at during the Rath Yatra festival. And he would come every day to see Mahaprabhu. And Swarup Damodar lived at near the sea beach in a place called Swagadwar. So they didn't reside with Mahaprabhu, but they were constantly with him in his association, singing to him particular verses suiting his mood, nourishing his sentiments in whichever way that he would, his feelings would turn. And he was always like the ocean, waves tossing one after another of different moods and feelings. So they knew how to bring out the colors of the particular emotions that he was feeling and churn them in such a way as to bring great happiness to Mahaprabhu's heart. This is the whole of Gambira, the same place. Now we'll introduce you to somebody else who sits in a little temple. Ah, this is called Gopal Guru Goswami. And he is the disciple of Vrakreshwar Pandit. And after Vrakreshwar Pandit finished his earthly lila, he placed the care of Gambira in the hands of Gopal Guru Goswami. So he looks very childlike there in this deity form, perhaps because his particular lila with Mahaprabhu took place that was most famous is when he was a small boy. And we know the story that Mahaprabhu was going to take care of, he was going to latrine, and he was holding his tongue. And Gopal Guru was a small boy and he asked Mahaprabhu, "Why are you holding your tongue?" So he said, "I'm holding my tongue because my tongue constantly chants. And I can't stop it from chanting. Day and night it's chanting and chanting and chanting. But now I'm going to do something that is impure. So therefore, so that my tongue will not chant, only way I can do it is to hold it." So Gopal Guru said, "But this is not good." He said, "Because every time we should chant, whether we are pure, impure, in any situation we should chant." And he said, "The chanting of the holy names is so important that at the time of death, if we chant at that time, We will not have to come back to this world. So at that time we can be in the most impure condition. Everything of the bodily functions are not working and not in proper order. So if we don't chant now, then how will we chant at that time? So Mahaprabhu was so pleased with him, and he said, "My dear Gopal," his name was Gopal, he said, "you have given me such valuable instructions that from now on I will call you Gopal Guru." So he became known as Gopal Guru as a small boy. So he grew up, he was an Aryan devotee, he grew up in Jagannath Puri and was always nearby to Mahaprabhu and took initiation from Vrikreshwar Pandit. And then when Vrikreshwar Pandit left this world, he managed the Gambira, and then he had one disciple called Dhyan Chandra. And this Dhyan Chandra also wrote a book called Dhyan Chandra Padati, with so many instructions about bhajan, keep it. So then Dhyan Chandra, one day Gopal Guru told his disciple that now I want to leave this world. I want to finish with everything and just go to Vrindavan. So they became a little worried. So some time after that, during a kirtan, in a situation, he lay down, and suddenly it appeared that he left his body. And so they all realized that actually he has died. He has passed from this world. So they became very much upset, and they immediately arranged everything to perform the samadhi ceremony, and they placed his body in samadhi. And Dhyan Chandra was feeling so much separation from his guru. And at the same time, the king of Puri began, it was a later time, and he wanted to take over the Kazimishra Bhavan. He should belong to the king himself. So he was troubling Dhyan Chandra, demanding that you should leave this place and this should belong to the royalty. So Dhyan Chandra was very much in separation from his guru. Plus all this difficulty was coming and he was feeling so much worried. When one person came, pilgrim came from Vrindavan. So in those days, coming from Vrindavan took months. So this person came and said, "You know, I have seen your Guru Maharaj, your Gopal Guru Goswami, I've seen him in Vrindavan." So he said, "No, this is not possible. We have just placed his body in samadhi. There is no possibility." No, I have seen him in Vrindavan." So then he said, "This is not at all possible." So he said, "I have seen him at Vamsivat, just near Vamsivat, sitting under one tree. He's chanting. So Dhyan Chandra became astonished, and he decided to himself go to Vrindavan to see if this was true. So he walked all the way to Vrindavan, and when he got to Vrindavan, he went to Vamsivat, and there he saw Gopal Guru Goswami sitting under a tree, chanting. So he said, "Oh, my dear Gurudev, you have cheated me. I thought that I was placing you in samadhi and you're here." So he was chanting, and then he said, "Now I've found you here, I'll never go back to Puri. I'll simply stay here with you." And then Gopal Guru Goswami said, "No, you must go back to Puri, but don't worry." He said, "I will come with you." He said, "You, when you go back to Puri, you go to Siddha Bakul, one garden nearby, and you find one very large neem tree there. You chop that tree and you make a deity of me. And you place that deity in the Gambira. And in the form of this deity, I will be fully present there. So in one form I will stay here in Vrindavan, and in one form I will go back to Puri. And whatever you want me to do, I will do it. And whatever you want, you can talk to me, I will take care of everything, I will manage everything. Whatever you need, you can approach me, and I will be fully at your disposal there." So Dhyan Chandra came back and he made this particular deity, and placed the deity in Gambira. And then some days after that, when the king was again harassing, Dhyan Chandra approached Gopal Guru and told him the situation. And then the king came shortly after that and apologized and said, "I'm very sorry that I've given you so much trouble, and I certainly wish to stop causing difficulty. Please forgive me." And said so many nice things. And then Dhyan Chandra could understand that somehow Gopal Guru Goswami had taken care of this matter. So anyone who visits the Gambira nowadays we'll see that it seems to be in a state of complete chaos, actually. If you spend enough time to look a little under the surface, it's under the care of the government, and the government is not providing any facility to take care of it. The members of the mat, the line of Gopal Guru, now is in court cases because there are two acharyas and they're both fighting with each other in court. There's no money. When you come in the door, there's a few old men singing. They have 24-hour kirtan in the Gambira, but they're old, old men. And they beg you for money, for clothes, for themselves. They beg anything. They're very persistent like that. And mostly you see there's a few young men, but mostly very many old people. And the standards of everything have declined very much. But still somehow or other, Gopal Guru Goswami is managing everything. So we can go to him and we can pray to him and he can help us in our spiritual life in so many ways if that is our aspiration. So anyone going to Jagannath Puri must go and take the darshan and the mercy from Gopal Guru Goswami. Next. This is the deities of Sri Sri Radha Kanta. These deities, it says that they were there at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a very beautiful deity. And this deity was brought from South India. There's a story, but we don't have so much time. There's a wonderful story to this deity. But the deity was brought and placed in the care of Kazi Mishra. So this deity was also there at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On one side is Lalita, the other side is Srimati Radharani. Then there's an amazingly dancing Lord Nityananda over here. And on this side there's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also very little. And maybe this is back the front. Yeah, it's back the front. Nityananda's little and Lord Chaitanya is dancing in a very special pose. Then there are many, many deities over here. I assume that they belong to different persons who over hundreds of years have left and placed the deities there. Looks like a deity shop. But it's very far back, the darshan of these deities, so difficult to get a picture of them. And I had to bribe them, because you're not allowed to take pictures in here. But for 100 rupees, you can do anything. We had the run of Gambira. And a lot of trouble from then on whenever we went. We had to hear what everybody didn't have. Next one. Now we're going to start on Haridas Thakur's Samadhi. These are pictures that are up on the walls around his Samadhi. This shows the story we were telling yesterday of the beating and all the people begging, please stop this. This is so sinful. And the soldiers beating him and beating him. So these are all the pastimes of Mahaprabhu are there on the walls of this Samadhi. Here we see Haridas being first of all brought before the governor, before he arranged for that beating to take place. And here, Mahaprabhu showing Haridas, you see, I took the beating. You didn't feel anything because I accepted it on my back. And Mahaprabhu is showing, and he's so overwhelmed with gratitude and amazement at the mercy of the Lord. This is Siddhabakul. We have a few more pictures of this later. This is the tree that was planted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from a toothpick, under which Haridas did his bhajan. And this is the deity of Haridas Thakur at Siddhabakul, where he chanted 3 lakhs every day. It's an unusual array of flowers. They're very simple in Jagannath Puri. Next. There we go. Very wonderful place. It's a place to go to pray in order to increase one's bhajan, because Siddhabakul is a Kalpa Vriksha tree, obviously, planted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So people come there and tie little rocks on strings on the tree and pray for anything and that they aspire for. So it's a very wonderful place to sit and pray for advancement in Krishna consciousness. And it's a place that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was living in Puri, used to go frequently. Here we see the passing of Haridas. Mahaprabhu is carrying his transcendental body. It's a very ecstatic features of Mahaprabhu. We can imagine how he was feeling. So much ecstasy out of love for his devotee, and so much separation because he had left his association. He said nobody could, when he desired like this, even the Lord himself could not keep him. He didn't want to see, Haridas did not want to live in this world after Mahaprabhu would leave. So he chose in this way to leave first. This is the diorama from Mayapur, Chattodaya Mandir, the same event. Then the Lord took Haridasa's transcendental body, placed it in the ocean, and bathed him. And all the Vaishnavas were present. Then placed his body in samadhi, and then very carefully they filled in the hole with sand. The first time I went to Jagannath Puri was in 1977, just after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. We went to observe the program that was centered around establishing the Pushpa Samadhi of Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur. And then we had three Gurukula boys traveling with us, and we came to Puri. And I'd never been before, neither had my husband. But somehow we had the good fortune to, through somebody, know the family that takes care of the Totagopinath Mandir. So my husband very cleverly, when we came, he brought a watch for the pujari, which gave us full entrance. So then they were so pleased, they arranged for us to stay in there. They had a house, and it was a very simple room on the roof, no windows, just shutters. It was quite cold, and everything was very simple. There was a well, and when you wanted your water, you had to put the bucket down the well and pull it up. And more than once, the boys dropped the bucket down the well, and then somebody would climb down, little tiny spikes sticking out the well to the bottom, and get the bucket and bring it up again. And we were just, it was right beside Haridas Thakur's Samadhi. And at that time, this was a solitary, old, simple house in the sand. And there were sand dunes around. And Haridas Thakur's Samadhi was also a very isolated, unknown sort of a place. But now that whole shoreline has become full of big guest houses and tourism, and all the whole area is packed up. And Haridas Thakur's Samadhi Mandir has become very nicely maintained and developed. But the whole, all of that, the solitariness and the peacefulness is all gone. And now all of Puri is full of just tourists and chatter and noise and so on and so forth. But we can imagine that at that time they were placing his body in the sand on the sea beach. It was really solitary. Then Mahaprabhu went and begged alms personally. And everyone was so much amazed to see the Lord doing this himself, and naturally wanted to give him whatever they could. Then he brought the things back, and he had served one feast, sort of Damodar, arranged for all the prasadam to be brought. And there on the sea beach, they served a feast. The Lord personally served all the Vaishnavas. And as we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was very fond of serving them up to their necks, it says. They didn't take a little prasad, they honored prasad fully. Jagannath Mahaprasad comes in these clay pots. It's cooked like that. It was one time I had the good fortune of going into the Nisringadev Mandir, which is also not a place that we're allowed to go, and also simultaneously at the same visit to Bhubaneswar. There's a temple there. It's a Jagannath temple. It's one of the original places, but many people say that, where they have the deities of Anantashesh, Subhadra is not Subhadra, a different name, and Ananta Vasudev.
Yes.
So in that temple we can go inside. So on one side of the temple you see all these clay pots, the kitchen areas on one side. And they're all like in a line, and there's like one line and next line and the next line. And in the pot you look in and you see that there's it's filled up to a certain height with water, they've thrown in a certain amount of turmeric, there's a certain vegetable cut, a certain quantity of the vegetable, and every pot in that line has the same amount of vegetable, the same amount of water, the same amount of turmeric, the same amount of, and they're all that's going into the ovens. And then, or you know, the cooking area, and then the next one has dal in the same way. The rice is put in the pot, the water's put in, everything's, then they all stand in a line. So they just put them in one after another. They don't stir them or cook them like we would think of cooking. They just place them all in, and then they come out at a certain time. Everything is completely standardized. And then whilst you're even taking darshan of Ananta Vasudev, they're bringing in huge, big clay pots straight out. As soon as they're suitably arranged, they bring them in and offer them to the deity. And on the other side of the temple, they have all these pots as prasada. So it's there's a continuous flow of prasada. And I'm sure there's some here of us who've been in the Jagannath temple who could tell us something about the immense amount of prasada distribution that goes on inside the temple. But it was interesting to see their system. It's so standardized, and it's been like that. There are certain vegetables offered, certain vegetables aren't offered. They don't change it in any way. It's all strictly formulated. So Mahaprabhu is offering, is taking the prasad, as you can see, in the clay pots, as it's been done for hundreds and hundreds of years, and serving it. This is the Samadhi Mandir. They have done more decoration work on it now. This was a year or so ago. You can see now, in the next shot, you can see the inside the Samadhi. This is Haridas Thakur's Samadhi. And in there, they have a stick. If you want to control the mind, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said you can beat yourself on the head 100 times in the morning and in the evening, control the mind. So there's a stick there that belonged to Haridas that if you request the pujari very nicely, he'll not beat you, but he'll place it on your head. And I don't know if these are actually his chanting beads, but they have a set of beads beside him. And when we went last year on Puri Parikrama, we brought Srila Prabhupada in a small box and we placed him just in the doorway of the mandir. And although this mandir is in the hands of an upper sampradaya group that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very inimical to, still the mahant in charge is still very respectful. So he, when he went in to make the offering to Haridas Thakur, he moved Prabhupada in the box inside and then closed the door. And it was really quite mystical. We're thinking that Srila Prabhupada is in there with Haridas Thakur and they're offering the prasad. And it was really wonderful. And then he came, when he opened the doors, we brought Srila Prabhupada out. Then he gave me the japa beads that are in the bead bag of Haridas Thakur. They're not his original ones, but they're the ones that they offered to him. So I put them on everybody's head all the way around. And so then when I went to give them back to the Mahant to put them in the bead bag, he said to me, you can keep these. So we placed them around Prabhupada's neck and he wore those for the rest of the time that we were in Puri. Here we see again Siddha Bakul with all the little requests. This is actually the mercy of Srimati Devi from Mayapur. But she went there and started chanting around the tree, just as we have the marks on the round out tamal tree. So she did this some years ago, and she also made, instead of tying rocks on the tree, she made them cut all the rocks tied on the tree, cut them all off. And instead she made a little kind of a clay thing that has the Maha Mantra written on it in Bengali. And so they still have these, and if you want you can purchase one for 1 rupee or something and tie it on the tree. So she changed the system in this way. So they hang on the tree like this. This too has been all changed. This whole area has been expanded since these photos were taken to preserve the life of the tree. Now you can see the tree. Look at this. What happened was after some years after Haridas Thakur's departure from this world, The king of Puri decided, again another trouble-making king, that he wanted to use this Siddhavakul tree to, it was so big and broad, it would be suitable for the wheels of the Rath cart. So the Babaji's or Mahanta was living there, they begged him, please, this tree is sacred, you can't take this tree. But he insisted. So therefore, that for many, many days they prayed and fasted and were praying to Lord Jagannath. So the night before the king was coming to cut the tree, in the morning when they woke up, the whole trunk of the tree had split open. And yet this whole tree is still alive. So it's most amazing if you see it. You can see the whole thing is petrified. It's completely open. And still, as you go along the end of these branches, they're growing so much leaves. But then when the king saw the tree in this condition, of course he rejected it. So it's a very special tree. This is what the inside of the trunk looks like. It's growing from that. So you can see it is Siddha Vakul, it means it's perfect. It is not an ordinary mortal tree. A special living entity. This is the trunk. These are some of the devotees on Parikrama last year. Here we see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoying his Rath Yatra pastimes, surrounded by his devotees. And when he would perform Rath Yatra, next, he would go to this place. This is called Jagannath Balava Gardens. This is the home of Ramananda Roy also. Next. This is the gateway into the house, and then inside, as the further we go into the garden itself. And it's interesting that this Ramananda Roy was not a Brahmin. He was considered by some even to be a Sudra. And still they won't let non-Hindus into this temple. It's quite peculiar. But one time I went here with a group of non-Western devotees, and I was one of the only Westerners present in the group. So when we got to the gateway of this temple, they all went inside, and they didn't want me to go in. Since there was a larger number of Indians present, and I was the only Westerner, then the Indians became very perturbed, and they insisted that I should also be allowed to go in. So the guard was old, he couldn't say anything, so I managed to go inside, and there's a temple inside, which has deities of Lord Jagannath and also some remembrances of Ramananda Roy, who lived here at that time. So these are the gardens. Now they're not very well kept, but it used to be that all kinds of trees grew here for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. And Ramananda Roy used to also train dancing girls here to sing and perform his Jagannath Priya Nataka. And Lord Chaitanya during the Rath Yatra would sleep under these trees. He would perform kirtan, sankirtan in these gardens and then sleep under the trees. The devotees would rest here. So it's a very, very special place, wonderful place. Jagannath Puri is also extremely beautiful. The palm trees and the greenery. There are the little Devidasis. Who were being trained by Ramananda Roy to dance for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. So we know the story of Pradyumna Mishra, who was told by Lord Chaitanya to hear Hari Kata, Krishna Kata from Ramananda Roy. Lord Chaitanya said, he knows everything, he's my guru. So Pradyumna Mishra came here and Ramananda Roy was not available and he asked what he was doing and they said, oh, he's training these young girls to dance and to perform in front of Lord Jagannath. He's busy with them. So Pradyumna Mishra became a little shocked and thought, what kind of a Vaishnava is this? How could he act like this? So his mind became disturbed. He was a very respectable Brahmana. So he came back to Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu could see that his mind was a little disturbed. So he asked him, so what did you meet Ramananda Roy? And he said, no. And then he told him that this was what he was doing. And then Mahaprabhu glorified Ramananda Roy and told him that you go back and again try to see him. He said, he is such an exalted personality that he's even my guru. So then Pradyumna Mishra came back, and then he met Ramananda Roy, and Ramananda Roy apologized to him for having not seen him the first time. And Pradyumna Mishra could understand that this was a very extraordinary person. Mahaprabhu told him that no matter what he's doing that appears to be unusual or improper, he never has any kind of mental transformation, because he always sees himself also as this maidservant of Srimati Radharani. So he doesn't see himself as male. So even though he is performing these activities that nobody should ever imitate, still he remains completely unperturbed. So when Pradyumna Mishra understood the exalted nature of Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Roy asked him, "What should I tell you?" And he said, "I want to hear the same shiksha that you gave to Lord Chaitanya in South India." So he proceeded to tell him all of the conclusions, Siddhanta conclusions, that he had told to Lord Chaitanya. And Pradyumna Mishra became very, very happy to hear. So this Jagannath Vallabha Gardens is a very special place. Maharaj Prataprudra also came here to get the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya accepted him in this place and heard from him the chanting of the Gopi Geet, Srimad Bhagavatam. And he appeared not to know that this person dressed as a simple Vaishnava was actually the king of Orissa. So these wonderful pastimes are all to be remembered when one takes the darshan of Jagannath Vallabha Gardens. Ah, now we've come to a very special place. This is a garden, and in Puri they call a garden is called a tota. So in this garden area, near to Yameshwar tota, there's a temple of Yameshwar, Lord Shiva. Lord Chaitanya gave Gadadhar Pandit a place to live and told him, "You should live here." And then one day he came to visit Gadadhar Pandit, and with great love he said to him, "Gadadhar, if I give you something, will you accept it?" And Gadadhar Pandit said, "Whatever you give me, my lord, I will accept." So he said, "All right." So with his hands he began to dig in the sand. And as he was digging and digging with his hands, he came across the black marble mukut of a deity. And as he piled the sands more and more and more, the head of Gopinath became visible. And then the whole deity was brought out from underneath the sand. So this deity of Tota Gopinath appeared by the divine arrangement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And the deity was worshipped here. Gadadhar Pandit took Chetra Sannyas and took vows that he would never leave Jagannath Puri. He would always serve his deity of Gopinath. Then, as we know the story, later on, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, Gadadhar Pandit was of a similar age to Mahaprabhu, but he became prematurely, completely wasted away in separation and very old and drained. So he could no longer worship this deity of Gopinath with the same energy. So in order to accept the worship of Gadadhar Pandit, the deity of Tota Gopinath, this is the temple, next. The deity of Tota Gopinath did something very wonderful. And the deity sat down. This is the only sitting down deity anywhere in the world. And the deity is so beautiful. And his arms are so long and so strong. And on each side we see, wrong way. I knew you'd do this. Or I'd do it and put them in the wrong order. On each side you see there is a black deity of Radharani on one side and Lalita Devi on the other side of Gopinath. And this is his morning appearance. And he sits like this for quite some time, depending on if the pujaris get it together or not. There's one old man, his name is Mahaprabhu. He's been dressing these deities for 45, 50 years. He's got one thick leg, you know, like they call elephantitis. And he slowly, slowly, slowly moves around. But he spends his whole day in the temple He doesn't display any emotion whatsoever. He's not at all friendly. I never smile and he never smiles. He doesn't acknowledge you. He just sort of slowly wanders from one altar to the other. But these deities are like the family deities of these people. So they walk in and out of the altar whenever they feel like. And at night also the deity worship, there's no time. If the lights go off, they wait. There's no schedule. It's not like that. But the deity is so wonderfully, intimately close. And the mood of the worship is just like in Vrindavan. So in Puri, everywhere else you see this opulence and excitement, but in this secluded place of Tota Gopinath's temple, you feel this Vrindavan atmosphere. So Mahaprabhu used to come here to see Gopinath himself, and there and daily he would come and take darshan of Gopinath. And as we understand from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has confirmed that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completed his leela in this world, he entered this deity to finish his pastimes. So the exalted nature of this deity cannot be estimated. This deity has not been installed, pratistha. This deity is Satchitananda. It is appearing in this way. It's a completely different quality of deity. And as we saw before, this is Baladev. On the other next altar. This deity is not so old. Was not installed, it was not established at the same time. Now we see the devotees last year's prikram bringing Srila Prabhupada down in the box, and we took him down to the ocean, and then we placed the box on the ground, and Umapati Swami, who's preaching in China, who was now one of our very welcome guests, he took Srila Prabhupada into the ocean. And he bathed Srila Prabhupada. This is the ocean at Jagannath Puri. Sometimes when Mahaprabhu would see the ocean, he would think it was the Jamuna. When he would see the hill known as Chatakpavat, he would think, now I've found Govardhan, and he would run madly on that hill, thinking that now I'm in Vrindavan. And when he would see the garden of Tota Gopinath, he would think this is the gardens of Vrindavan. And when he would see the big tree, he would think, this is Vamsivat, now I'm in Vrindavan. So these were his moods. And it's said that just as you see the ocean waves are churning and tossing one upon the other, his different sentiments that would arise, happiness, distress, anger, lamentation, fear, shyness, all different emotions would come one after another, and they would churn and clash against each other as the ocean waves crash down one after another. So when we see the ocean, we can think like this, these are Mahaprabhu's moods, and how he himself was floating in this ocean for such a long time, for the whole night when he jumped into the water. Now we've come to a place called Alalanath. There's a stone which we'll see in a few minutes that melted when Mahaprabhu was paying his obeisances. But this is the house of Ramananda Roy. And those two things, one is the sword, which was the sword of Bhavananda Roy, who was the father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the bundle with the red on it. In a place called Bentpur. Here, you can see how they would write the books in those days. They would take many of these strips and write very, very tiny. You can see the writing even there, if it's a little bit made a little focused. Small Aryan print. So this is another book, but that big bundle, I think, is actually his play, Jagannath Priyanata, that he would recite to Lord Chaitanya and Gambhira. Oh, this is upside down. This is that stone at Alalanath that melted to the touch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can't see exactly like his bodily, the form of his body, you know, his head, arms, and fingers like that. Perhaps somebody who could point it out, but I was not able to go there with a group of devotees. I managed
to go there just by myself. So I couldn't, and they couldn't, the pandas wouldn't tell you anything, they just wanted some money. But it's also said that he rolled on the ground and that all the stone melted, and that the stone around also melted with his touch. He would go to Alalanath out of intense mood of separation during the Snani Yatra, after the Snani Yatra, when they were Nava, what's that called? The time when Lord Jagannath is repainted? Is it? Nava? Nava Yovana. So at that time he would come here and see the deity here of Alwanath, Alalanath. It's a deity four-armed form in the temple here. This is Sadbhuj there. This is just where that stone is. These were the friendly pandas who wanted 6 rupees every time the flash went off. We managed to talk them down to 12 rupees for 4. And this is the temple. There's a story also goes along with this temple, and there's a history to this place also, but we will tell it another time. And this, remember we were talking about how the gopis said, please you come back on the chariot of our minds. So this is a representation of that. In a temple, we're going actually, on these slides, we're going a little bit backwards. So we'll go back to the temple, we'll visit the front of the temple at the end, when we're leaving. But this is like a Rath cart, you can see, made out of the bodies of the gopis. And right in the center is Krishna. This is very large up on the wall. This particular temple is called the Siddhanta Asana, I think. It's a Gaudiya Math temple. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple Siddhanti Maharaj established this temple, and it's made like a spiritual exhibition, like a museum. And all the walls are painted like this. It's so beautiful. And we went there, and they very kindly served us prasadam there. And they're very good at cooking, and everything is so clean. That particular mat is famous for their courtesy, their prasadam, and the cleanliness. So we had an opportunity to wander around that temple. And they maintain it, although everything is decorated like that. All painted. The walls, and on the walls where there's like windows, the whole wall is painted like with different lilas, and the windows kind of painted into the whole thing. This is the temple. A theistic exhibition. Many pilgrims like to visit that temple. Here is, this is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, deity, at his birthplace. The place where Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur was living on Grant Road. This is the entrance way to that temple. This is also a Gaudiya Math temple. This is the Chaitanya Gaudiya Math. And there used to be a sign up the front that said, this is not an ISKCON temple. So they weren't famous for their hospitality. They weren't. Actually, it was interesting last year because one devotee, his name is Vannamali, or his name is Parameshwar Das. He was initiated by Bhavananda, and he's a very, very wealthy industrialist in Calcutta. And after the difficulties that he faced in ISKCON, he became very disillusioned. So then he took his shelter in the Gaudiya Math devotees that he knew. So he was at that time inspired to build this temple, and he built this gateway. He built the whole thing here. He also built a temple on behalf of the king of Puri in a place called Astashambhu. A very wealthy man and a very, very magnanimous man. And he has a big house in Puri as well as a house in Calcutta. So somehow or other we became friendly, he and my husband and I. So he was the one who agreed to pay for the prasadam for all the devotees when we came to Puri last year. So I asked him, could he go around to the different Gaudiya Maths and ask them if they would arrange a feast for the devotees. So he said, this will be very difficult, just as sometimes we see our ISKCON devotees become a little narrow-minded and prejudiced, And they think that we're the only Vaishnavas, we're the only ones who are important and nobody else knows anything. So this narrow-mindedness is also there sometimes with the Bengali Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Math. So they didn't want to have anything to do with foreign devotees taking prasadam in this place particularly. So this Vanamali Prabhu, because he donated the temple, he said whatever I tell them they have to do. So he personally came from Calcutta and he personally arranged for all of the bhog and for the wood and for the people to cook in this temple. And then when we came there, the sannyasi, resident sannyasi, his name is Bharati Maharaj, he's about 50 years old, actually a very nice man, he served us. And they were a little embarrassed, so they served us at the back, so no one would see. But then once they started to interact with us, they began to see that it was very nice. And Umapati Swami was very instrumental in that, because he's so natural and so humble and also very older. So he sat down with Bharati Maharaj, and at first he was a little nervous, but gradually he began to relax, and they were talking about the preaching in China. And after 20 minutes or so, he was very, very impressed. And similarly at that Siddhanti Math, when we first came there, they were very nervous, and we all came in. And then afterwards, the elderly sannyasi there, who spoke a little English, Mahavati Swami would say, you know, we're all from lechers, we're all like, you know, demons, sons of demons. And then they'd say, no, 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 no. They had to be very polite. No, no, you were very fortunate. And within a few minutes, they'd be glorifying Srila Prabhupada and his work of preaching all over the world. So it was a very wonderful experience, the cultural exchange. This is the Nisringadev Mandir next to the Gundicha temple. If we go inside, we can take the darshan, I think, about Nisringadev, but it won't be very clear because it's a very old temple. First here is Garuda, on the Garuda Stamba, looking at Lord Nisringadev. This deity is as old, very as old as the Jagannath deity, so old that it's been there in Puri. And this is a temple also that Westerners are not allowed to enter. But because I was there, it was Mr. Singhania Vanamali, he was giving a feast in this temple. And so, because they wanted something from him, because he was always giving donations, they wanted to fix up a garden on the side. So they were obliged also to allow me to enter the temple with him in his company. So they even let me take pictures and wander around the temple freely. This is the very old, old temple. And here, just in this area, he filled the whole area up with, invited so many Vaishnavas from all of the Gaudiya Math temples in Puri, and had them all come together and had a huge feast. This was during the month of Purushottam, which is the month when one is recommended to go and stay in Jagannath Puri. And this is the far door to Gundicha. Gundicha is considered to be Vrindavan, non-different than Vrindavan in Jagannath Puri. So quickly I can tell the story that Gundicha Devi was the wife of Maharaj Indradyumna. And after the Jagannath deities had been installed, there was some yajna that was supposed to be performed here at this Gundicha Mandir, this place, which was where Lord Jagannath was carved. So at that time, Lord Brahma, of course, was presiding over the ceremonies. So he told Gundicha Devi that for this particular yajna, you should not have any jewelry whatsoever. So she was thinking, and so she took off all of her jewelry, her bangles, everything that she was wearing, except one thing she couldn't relinquish, and that was her nose ring, Nakchana. She couldn't take that out, because that meant if something happened to the nose ring, then it was very inauspicious for the husband. So according to Vanashram culture, you cannot, it is very inauspicious to remove that. But she took it out and she tied it in her cloth so that he wouldn't see it, but she couldn't part with it. So then Lord Brahma started the yajna, and then he said, it seems something is not quite right. He said, it seems that you have stolen something. Perhaps you have some jewelry that you have not relinquished. So then she understood that he could see this. So then, understanding that for the higher principle, for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath and the pleasure of Krishna, she should give up even her vanashram designations, she agreed to relinquish this Nakchana. So she took it and placed it somewhere in the garden. And then she sat down again and they performed the ceremony. So after the ceremony was performed, Lord Brahma was so pleased with her because she had made the proper decision in this way. So he asked Urza Maharaj and Tridyumna what benediction he wanted, since that now Lord Jagannath had been installed. So he said, I want that I should have no sons, no heirs, because if I have any children, then they will fight over this temple in the future. So this was his exalted request of a benediction. And then Lord Brahma asked Gundicha Devi, so what do you want? So she said, I want that when you build this Gundicha temple, there will be two gateways. And that when Lord Jagannath comes during the Rath Yatra, he will go through the front gateway. And then when he's leaving after the Rath Yatra, he should go through the back gateway or the side gateway. And you should build this gateway just where this Nagchana is. So just where my nose ring is placed, there you should make a gate, and Lord Jagannath should pass through that gate every year on this Rath Yatra ceremony. So this gate is called the Nagchana gate, and this is the way that Lord Jagannath leaves. And there's a gate further up, which is the entrance of Gundicha. This is the entrance way to the Gundicha temple, to the gardens around the Gundicha temple. So we're eligible to go inside here, but just inside there's a bamboo fence, and then make sure we don't go any further. And there's a garden in there. Next. There are gardens in there, and there's a big sign, no photographs. So anyway, I started taking photographs, and so they got all upset, and then I said, look, I'm outside. You can't get angry with me, I'm not inside your bamboo fence. So then they're all confused, they didn't know what to say, and tried all the best that they could to lord it over us and make us feel guilty for being Westerners. But actually the local people in Puri also feel a little bit embarrassed, to say the least, about their injunction against the Western Vaishnavas. And I noticed even sitting outside while the others all went inside, that as the devotees, as people would come out, they would offer their obeisances almost apologetically, seeing the tilak and the japamala. They knew this was not the correct siddhantic way to behave. So this is a prakram going into the Gundicha Mandir. Next. And the gardens around Gundicha are considered to be just like Vrindavan. And everybody slept in these gardens during the Rath Yatra when they were in Gundicha for 1 week. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. So we'll stop now, and I want to give everyone a picture. And everyone should put some of Haridas Thakur's dust in their mouth or on their head. Tungaviji, can you give that to the ladies? Krishna Das, you can give for the men. And we have these little pictures of Haridas Thakur. And if anyone can please write realizations about Jagannath Puri, you can give those out. We'd be very happy to receive them. Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki. Jagannath Dev Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.